Proverbs chapter number 23. Look at verse. We're going to start verse number 1. The Bible says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet word." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, Lord, just to meet in your house. God, I'm not worthy to stand here. And Father, I pray that you just help my words tonight, guide my thoughts, help me to say exactly what you would have me to say. Lord, nothing more, nothing less. And just help it to be something that would just be a good reminder for your people tonight, Lord. It's a good reminder for me. And Father, I pray that as we look at your word, that you just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to talk about this subject, one more bite. One more bite. You know, there's this passage in Proverbs, first couple verses. "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat." Now, that's I have a vivid imagination, and I picture that, okay? You're sitting to eat with a ruler, and the Bible says, look diligently what's in front of you to eat. And then he says, put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. To appetite. Now, why did he say that? Why was that statement made? And I think the rest of this passage kind of sheds a little bit of light on that. But we're going to look at several places here in Proverbs, specifically in this chapter. And we're going to talk about this. One more bite. One more bite. Now, I have appetite. We all have appetites, all right? Thank God for appetites. You know, when I had the COVID or whatever earlier, I lost my sense of taste and I lost my sense of smell. And it was really weird because I've never, you know, you get a cold sometimes and you lose kind of what you think it should taste like. But I've never lost it completely where I couldn't taste. Like, I was tasting gasoline to see what it was in the gas can, and I couldn't taste it. Like, that's how bad it was. And I wasn't drinking it. It wasn't anything like that. But that being said, if I didn't, I couldn't smell it. I could have, and not known, except for the digestive problems it would have given me, that it was something bad, right? And I've never had a time where I didn't, you know, you just completely, you know, sometimes when you're sick, you just lose your appetite. But then there's those times that, you know, you're driving past, you know, a hamburger place or you're out someplace and somebody's grilling food. And it makes you desire that, right? It makes you want that. Well, if you can't smell, that doesn't affect you. And if you don't know what it tastes like, that doesn't affect you. You know, I'm eating spaghetti and it's just wet, slimy texture. Because you can't taste it. It doesn't taste like anything, okay? And so my appetite, I really had to eat because I knew I was supposed to eat. And but I didn't have an appetite. But we all have appetites. And the Bible says here, put a knife to thy throat. If thou, it doesn't say if you have an appetite. The Bible says, if thou be a man given to appetite. And there's a big difference there, okay? There's a big difference in having an appetite and being given to that appetite. And then it goes on, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. And it basically says, you know, you need to be careful, especially in the context of who he's saying you're sitting with as a ruler. You need to be careful about what he's offering to give you, okay? Because a gift in the bosom, you know, that can pervert judgments. And it's amazing how many politicians, they've taken money from different things, and now that person has their ear. Now that person has their inroad. And so I believe that's what the Bible's talking about somewhat here. But what kind of caught my attention in this, and what I'm going to talk about is this given to appetite this problem that sometimes that we have as far as we develop an appetite, but then at some point we are given to that appetite. Look down at verse number 8, if you would. Look down at verse number 8. And here's the first thing that I kind of came to just in this specific passage. But in verse number 8, the Bible says, "The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words." And the reason I believe the Bible says that is because it's not about what it was that he ate. It was about what it caused to bring after that made him sick. Have you ever done something that just made you sick to your stomach? Oh, man. All right? That's what the Bible's talking about here. I wish I never would have taken that gift. I wish I never would have eaten that. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, the appetite has already caused something to happen. And now you're just reaping the consequences. My wife makes some delicious meals, all right? And there are some meals that my wife makes, and you know, you preach about drunkenness and you preach about all these things, but you go to Proverbs, and you know, gluttony is one of those things too. And nobody, you know, you don't hear anybody preach about gluttony. That's kind of taboo, you know. We don't preach about that. But you know, not being able to say no is a sin. All right? That is a sin. And that's basically what gluttony is not being able to tell yourself, stop, this is enough. Okay? Now, like I said, nobody likes hearing about that, but it's in the Bible. Okay? But my wife makes some dishes like fettuccine. I love fettuccine. All right? And she'll make that, and I'll eat, and I'll eat, and I'll eat, and I'll eat. I'm that way with pizza, too, quite honestly. All right? As long as there's pieces of pizza, it's not that I'm not full. I was full after like 6 pieces. Okay? But then there's the 7, and the 8, and the 9. Oh, man, that was good. 10. I'll just do one more small one. 11. And then my wife's like, there's only 2 left. You might as well finish. Okay, if you must, you know. But then you know the feeling. You know the feeling. It's like, oh, I don't want to do anything, right? But what, you know, so there's some things in life it's like you develop an appetite for it. You develop this, I really crave this. Growing up, I always drank Mountain Dew, all right? I drank a significant amount of Mountain Dew, especially when I got into high school. And me and Dad, we farmed. And so we would always grab a couple cans of Mountain Dew on the, you know, anytime we were at the shop, we'd grab a couple cans of Mountain Dew, put them in our lunchbox, we'd drink those, grab a couple more next time we was there, you know, drink those. And too, we was working a lot of hours, and it was just kind of that extra caffeine. So I kind of got in this habit of drinking a lot. Well, when we remodeled the auditorium several years ago, I was working a lot of hours here, and then I was doing some other stuff, and I was putting in a lot of hours. And so I grabbed a 12-pack of Mountain Dew, and I drank it in like a day, which I know for a lot of people is not a huge amount, but for me, that was an overload to my system. And you ask my wife, I got very sick after that. And honestly, I haven't drank pop since then, like any pop, period. And you say, Brother Chad, why did you do that? Well, there's multiple reasons. But one, I didn't like the feeling of getting sick. I didn't like, it wasn't the fact, I liked the Baja Blast. I like all the other different ones of the mountain. But you know what? It wasn't the fact of when I was drinking it, I enjoyed it very much. I did not enjoy being sick. Did not enjoy that at all. And so there are appetites that if we're not careful, if you get filled up, yeah, it's enjoyable while you're in the process. But then there's the after part. And Proverbs chapter 23 gives us a couple different illustrations here. One was in verse number 8. If you look down at verse number 19, we're going to read this. The Bible says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers." All right? Honestly, I should have looked that word up. I'm just guessing somebody that drinks a lot of wine. Among, listen to this next one, riotous eaters of flesh. Now, that's another very graphic illustration. All right? Graphic description. Wasn't just an eater of flesh. It was a riotous eater of flesh. There again, I'm guilty. All right? You know, my wife will cook sometimes. She will grill something, you know, chicken or something or turkey. And she puts a the Italian dressing marinades or some stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't have to eat anything else. All I'll eat is meat. All right? And I just eat piece after piece. And you know what? At some point, it is turkey. We've got it down to where I get them turkey breasts and we get them all beat down where they're tender. And they are, I'll make myself sick on it. I really will. And then I'll go take a nap because that's what turkey does to you. But you just get this, oh, I want some more. Why? Because you're starving, because you're really hungry? No. It's because it tastes good. That's an appetite, okay? Among riotous eaters of flesh. But listen to this. Why? For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. What's the end of this? All right, you've got a drunkard and a glutton. What does the Bible say? It's going to clothe them, all right? Right? And then it says, and a drowsiness. All right, nobody likes getting up. I don't know a whole lot of people anyway that like getting up in the morning. You're maybe okay once you get up. It's the getting up that you don't like, okay? But you know what? How many times does the Bible talk about the slothful man? As a door upon his hinges. You know what a door on its hinges does? Back and forth and back and forth. They're just rolling over in their bed, hitting the snooze and rolling back over, hitting the snooze and rolling back over. But you know what the Bible says? Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So yeah, you've got an appetite for maybe slumber, or somebody has an appetite for that. They enjoy it. You know, I enjoy sleeping some, okay? I enjoy sleeping in some too. But you know what? If you sleep in all the time, you know what the Bible says? And it's true. Look at our culture today. You know, they come to Walmart at, 1 o'clock in the afternoon still in their pajamas. But look at what they're driving. Look at what they're paying for their groceries with. Okay? Honestly. So the Bible principles here. Look down at verse number 27. The Bible says, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. We're going to look at a couple other passages later about this woman and the penalty that comes by the little bit of satisfaction that it gives you, or the appetite that it satisfies, versus the outcome later on. Continue down here at verse number 29. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his collar in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. What's the next three words? At the last. You know, wine never hurts anybody the first time. You know, they don't have that appetite for it yet. Quite honestly, I've never understood why somebody drinks fermented stuff anyway. All right? Usually I throw that away when it happens in my refrigerator. All right? But this person, all right, has become long. They're tearing long at it. And then it says, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And then it's got some more things here. I want to talk tonight about one more bite. You know, as many times in life, my life, I've developed appetites for things that maybe in and of themselves, listen, are not a bad thing. All right? Eating meat's not a bad thing. All right? Some people may debate that, but I think it's pretty clearly taught in the Bible that it's okay to eat meat. All right? Very clearly taught. All right? I don't think it's a bad thing. Becoming a riotous eater of meat is probably a bad thing. Okay? There's a lot of things in the Bible. You know, sitting down to eat something is not a bad thing. But when we become gluttonous in that, then it becomes a bad thing. And I'm not just talking about sinful. Listen, folks, it's not good for you. Period. Okay? Healthy, it's not good for you. All right? And I'm not going to be, you know, I love Lester Roloff, but, you know, I'm not going to preach against your Pepsi. But if you're drinking, you know, 2 2-liters of it a day, that's a problem. Okay? So it's not having about having an appetite. It's about allowing that appetite to have you. All right? It's not about having an appetite. It's about being given to an appetite. And so we talked about those things. One thing about appetite is that the little bit that you started with pretty soon is not enough. An appetite is strange that way. You can start with just a little bit, and at first it may be enough to satisfy you, but then you want a little bit more to completely satisfy you. And then you want a little bit more. Young people, you know, there's some things we preach about and teach about that you may not really understand. Why are they so upset about this? Or why are they so emphatic about the music I listen to? Because listen, young people, and all of us, you start developing an appetite. Oh, I have one country song I listen to that I really like. You know what that develops is into two, and then three, and then four, and then the albums. Oh, I just got one artist I really like, and then two artists. Where'd it come from? From starting with an appetite down here and not controlling that appetite, okay? And you have to be careful about that. It builds appetites. Why is technology, you know, you all know I am anti most technology. Why is technology a dangerous thing? It builds appetites. You know, one reason I went, honestly, I still use a flip phone 5, all right? I found myself, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. I found myself getting up in the morning. I had a smartphone for a while. And I'm just telling you what, this is for me. I found myself getting up in the morning, I checked the weather. That was what I went to do, was check the weather. But for some reason, I had it in my hand. You know, I was wanting to look up last night. I was wanting to look something up last night. And so I would look it up. It wasn't anything bad. I'd look that up. And then in my process of looking that up, I'd be like, oh yeah, and there was this other thing I wanted to look up. And so I'd look that up. And so I'd go over where I read my Bible, and I'd sit down in the seat where I read my Bible, and I would look those things up. And this is before I got to go to work. And I'd look them up, and then it was, oh, I was wanting to know how to do that. And so I'd go look up how to do something. And you know, before long, I'd look up at the clock, and that time that I was supposed to have walking with God was now all wasted. And in all reality, it was wasted in something that I had allowed my appetites to take me to a place I didn't want to be. Okay? Now, I'm going to talk about this here at the end. But you, first of all, listen, folks, our appetites, if we're not careful, I like YouTube for some stuff. You can learn a lot on there. But you know what? There's always a column over here on the right-hand side. And you hit the one, and it's very innocent, and then it's the top 10 epic fails. Oh, that looks cool. And you watch people, like, you know, completely hurt themselves. That was awesome. And then because you watch that one, there's, you know, because it was like the top 10, it's the top 10 biggest military machines. Ooh, that's nice. So I watched that one. And then because you was in the military, then it pulls up a whole nother list of, you know, the 6 coolest aircraft the military has. Oh, that's cool. And then it's, you know, the 7 worst airplane crashes recorded in history. Right? Yeah. And if that's not you, you're lying. All right? Because you do. It's bad. But you know what that is? It's an appetite. Is one thing, if you're going there for knowledge and you're going there for something good, is that a bad thing? No. You know, I think the internet for some things is a great research tool, and that's what I use it for. I researched it some stuff this afternoon for this message. I'm thankful for it. But then it just keeps going, keeps going, and keeps going, and keeps going. All right? An appetite. You're looking up how to, like I said, how to do something. You're researching. TV could be a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous appetite to build. You know what builds? You know what the reason they do series? Think about this. The reason that they do a TV series is to get you to watch more than one. When I was in high school, there's a series called 24. Okay, I'm not condoning it, but I did watch some of it. Okay, there was like this special agent, and he was, you know, a government agent, kind of, you know, rogue government agent. And I watched some of it. I did. And then I came to a place, because they had like eight, nine, I don't know how many seasons they have. So the premise of this show is that they basically took a 24-hour period, and they went to this guy's life, this actor, and they took 1 hour out of his life, so this 24-hour period. So if it's a 24-hour period, how many episodes are in the season? 24, excellent. And it's very captivating because it always ends with the clock ticking down and a suspenseful thing right at the end. Click, tick, tick, tick. And then something dramatic happens. And so you know what you have to do? You got to go watch the next night. And it never ends at a peaceful moment. Somebody's always about to die. Something's always about to happen. And you're just waiting for it. Come back tomorrow to be continued. Right? But listen, folks. 24 hours. That's a day of your life that you spent in front of a box. Times 7, 8 seasons. So you spent a week, a full week of your life sitting in front of a box, watching people, whatever happened. But you see how an appetite so easily can be built. And we don't even realize it. It just happens. Okay? Listen, it's not just those. Those are pretty mild things. Listen, folks, pornography is an appetite. It starts as something little. Young men, listen to me, and young ladies. It starts as something little, and if you're not careful, it takes a little bit more to satisfy and a little bit more to satisfy. They say it's worse than a cocaine addiction. Pornography is worse than cocaine. Speaking of cocaine, drugs is the same way. You know, when somebody overdoses, it's not their first time. They start with a little bit, and it gives them a high. But the next time that, maybe it takes a few times, but the next time it takes a little bit more to give them that same euphoria. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. I don't start out planning to eat a lot, but because I have an appetite, we eat past when our brain tells us to stop. All right? We eat past when our brain tells us to stop. Despite what you would hear on the news, okay, you'd think everyone dies from COVID anymore, all right? But despite that fact, did you know that heart disease is still the leading cause of death in the United States of America? Now, I don't know what heart disease is. It's a disease of the heart. So I had to use the internet and I looked it up. So I went to Mayo Clinic. I figured they're kind of knowledgeable in that kind of thing. So I went to Mayo Clinic, and I started looking at heart disease. What is heart disease? And I may have it. I probably have it right now because it was very discouraging, all right? Basically, if you live an unhealthy lifestyle, you have heart disease, okay? High cholesterol, sugars, and I'm like, check, 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 I'm going to die, okay? But listen. On their page that was talking about heart disease, it said, had this whole list of, you know, smoking was on there, drinking was on there, all this whole list of what we would call honestly, bad habits. And then it says, heart disease. I'm going to paraphrase because I should have written it down. But heart disease can be helped or cured. Cured may be a loose term. Based if you would improve your lifestyle habits. But you know why so many people don't? Is because they've got bad habits and they don't want to quit. You know, and seventh on the list was diabetes. Seventh leading cause of death in the United States was diabetes, right? And listen, if you have it, you have it. But you know there's so many people that because they've developed, listen to me, they've developed bad habits, they've developed bad appetites, and so they still indulge in their appetites and then just give themselves a shot. Instead of fixing the appetites, all right? Now listen, I'm just being honest with you. Because what I'm talking about tonight is having appetites, and we're going to bring this down to the nitty-gritty. But when we have appetites, those appetites can cost us. Okay? Hey, I like Oreos and milk. All right? And I eat too much Oreos and milk. And ask my wife. All right? But you know what? If it came to, all right, you're going to... Sorry, this came to my mind just now. Anybody know the name Joey Chestnut? I think it's Joey Chestnut. Oh, Joey. He's the world champ. He's a competition eater. That's what he does. Makes money doing it. A lot of money. He's a 14-time, I think, world champion hot dog eater. This all came about in my research. This was research. He just broke his world record. He just broke his record in one sitting, ate 76 hot dogs and buns in one sitting. 76. Okay? So the interesting thing is like a day ago, some doctor, and this is funny, some doctor came up with the fact that if you eat a hot dog, it costs you 35 minutes of your life. And the article said, poor Joey. That's what it said. Poor Joey. But you know what? Listen, you know, I thought it was pretty funny. In fact, I was laughing out loud. In my office. Poor Joey. You know, he just took like 10 years off his life. But you know what? An appetite, now that's a little extreme, all right? But an appetite's going to affect you. You know, I was reading, I was kind of curious. I was like, how does this affect the person? Eating 76 hot dogs and buns in one sitting. They said his sweat smells like hot dogs. That is gross. That is nasty. All right? There's other things. But listen, having these wrong appetites, all right? Now listen, I'm okay with a hot dog, but 76 of them, okay? There's always going to be consequences or rewards. It can go both ways. But I think Joey's is going to look at heart disease, all right? Just from what I read, heart disease. As humans, we want to do what is pleasing to our flesh. We want that. We crave it. We have developed an appetite for it. As Christians, it is important for us to live disciplined lives. You know, the very word being a disciple of Christ gives the connotation that you live by certain disciplines. Okay? You can't be a disciple unless you're disciplined in some ways. All right? We must learn to deny ourselves. If we can't say no to a Twinkie, how are we going to be able to tell ourselves no when something bigger comes? When the devil, and you say, Brother Chad, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. I talked about the pop thing earlier. I don't have anything against drinking pop. And I still crave it sometimes. Okay? But you know what it has become for me? It's not about the health thing anymore for me. I don't really care. I drink one. No big deal. But it's about me wanting something and then having to tell myself, no. Oh, man, that sounds good. You've got the money. It's not going to hurt you that bad. Just do it. No. I've been three, four years without drinking pop. I'm not going to. If I stop it now, it's over. Not like over, like I'm going to die, but discipline is not an inborn thing. Kids do not have discipline. Discipline is taught. Discipline is trained. Discipline is not pleasant, but discipline is necessary. Go to Luke chapter number 21. Luke chapter number 21. Brother Charles English taught me this when I was in high school or junior high. He preached chapel one Wednesday. This is the same Bible I had because it's still written in my Bible. Luke chapter number 21. Look at verse number 34. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Bible says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Look at that word surfeiting. That word surfeiting basically means, and I'm going to summarize it for you, but it means an appetite out of control. It honestly means eating to the place that you detest what you're eating. That's what that word surfeiting means. It's an appetite out of control. I didn't know what it meant until Brother Charles explained to us what it meant. Okay? But pastor's been talking about the spirit of Antichrist, hasn't he? You know what this passage is talking about? The return of the Lord and those times that will come before that. You know what the Bible says? Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. What is that? Appetites out of control. You know what the Bible says? Hey, Christians, you need to be careful to not let your appetites out of control. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Then it says, because it will come as a snare. Brother Val, I don't know a lot about trapping, okay? I've done some of it. But the animal is not expecting the snare. It just happens. But it's constricting. It squeezes the life out, okay? That's what a snare does. What is an appetite out of control? A snare. A snare. The devil creates an appetite in us and feeds that appetite. I brought something with me tonight. I like those visuals. All right. This is a snapping turtle. Okay. This is actually a pretty, from what I didn't know how old it was. They said you really can't tell. But from the size of the shell, it's probably 20 plus years old. Okay. King of whatever body of water he was in. Around here, there's nothing that will really attack a snapping turtle, especially at least this size, right? They are premier predator, okay? You can look at the claws on this, okay? Pretty significant snapping turtle. Me and the guys went camping a few years ago, and we had these trap triggers that we had made, and I showed the guys how to use it, and I think Luke was the fisherman that year. And we'd be sitting around the campfire, and I showed them how to rig it all up, and they would put their lines out in the water, and they would put them on these trap triggers. And when the fish would take it, we had big weights on these lines, and when the fish would take the piece of bait, whatever we were using, I think it was squirrel hearts or something like that. When the fish would take that, it would trip that trigger and that weight would fall down and it would set the hook. So we'd be sitting around the campfire and we'd hear it go off. Bang, crash. So he'd go and run over there and he'd bullhead catfish. I mean, he was catching one after another. Okay. I had one out. So I had it out and we had it out in the water. And I heard it go off. So I go running over there and I start, and it was heavy. I start pulling this thing in and I get all the way up, I mean, 4 feet from the bank and my line goes slack. Man, I mean, you know, the fish story, the one that got away is always the biggest. My guys, there's a big, I mean, monster. And so we throw it back out there and same thing. Trips it again. And I go over there and we start pulling it in. Same thing. It gets 2 or 3 feet away from, and it gets a little closer this time. 2 or 3 feet away from the shore, and then it goes slack again. And this is at night. It was late. I say late, it was dark. It wasn't really that late. But so we throw them out again. Did it again. I don't remember how. I think I did it 3 times. I'm not going to say so because I don't want to lie from the pulpit. But 3 times, I think. All right. Finally, I was like, all right, we're just going to let it. This time, we're going to let it take it. We heard it fall again, and we let it take it. And I said, well, let's just let it have it. What's it going to hurt? I've lost it 3 times so far. We let it have it. And pretty soon, I was like, all right, let's, you know, a couple minutes. Let's pull it in. Start pulling that in. And there was a snapping turtle on the end of that line. You know, the problem was the snapping turtle, every time up to that point, he had it in his mouth. He was developing an appetite for it. But when he saw danger, he was smart enough. You don't get this big by being dumb. He was smart enough to spit it out. But the last time I let him have it a little bit longer. And he swallowed the hook. Swallowed it all the way down. Pull him up to the bank and put a gun to his head and shoot him. A life older than most of you guys. Why? Because there was an appetite developed, and then at some point, he was given to that appetite. Have you ever heard of chumming? It's a fishing thing. They don't really do it much around here. But out in the ocean, the way I understand it, is they basically chop up a bunch of fish, throw them overboard, and wait for all the predator fish to come and start eating. They attract it. The blood, the smell gets all these fish. So then they take another piece of the same bait and stick a hook in it and throw it out there. Fish after fish, a lot of them come in, don't bother by it. They swim on their merry way. But there's one or two or a dozen hooks hidden within those pieces. What they thought was an innocent piece of food that satisfied their appetite now is linked to the end of their life. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. The devil creates an appetite and feeds the appetite, and we keep coming back for more. The devil gives us enough to develop an appetite and then slips a hook into it. We're at Kite River at the camp over there. And they have a dock. I don't know how long the dock is for sure. But they've got a stand full of fishing poles. As far as I know, all they use is kernels of corn to catch fish with. And they're pulling fish up left and right. You know why? Because at some point, somebody goes out there, takes a handful of corn and chucks it in the water. And the fish are like, oh, free food. They're used to it. They like it. Have you ever been fishing at a fish farm? It's the same thing. Pull catfish after catfish out. Why? Because they're eating the same thing that they're fed a daily basis of. Okay? They've developed an appetite for it. Rich, I draw this to a conclusion. Okay. How do you become from being a casualty? How do you manage those appetites? First of all, I believe recognize the appetite. Listen, if you don't know that you have an appetite, you're not going to know how to deal with the appetite. Okay? You gotta find out. You gotta let the Holy Spirit tell you where your appetites are. And then you have to recognize that. What draws your attention? Let me ask you, what draws your eye, Lon? What do you look at and then look at again and then look at the third time? What's the appetite? What takes your time? The devil is a master at getting us so occupied with the things of life that our service to God is often put to the wayside. It just draws our time. Oh, it's no big deal. I'll just do it now. I'll do my visiting later. How many weeks have it been, I'll do my visiting later? All right? It's an appetite. Who has your ear? Who has your ear? Who are you listening to? I encourage you to listen to Matt Pastor's message on the Enticer about that. That is a fantastic message. So recognize the appetite. Look at the end result. All right. If you have an appetite, you need to look past the feel-good moments to the end. You got to look past those feel. You know what? You know what? Budweiser always gives you on their commercials, feel-good moments. All right. That's what they all give you. The Marlboro Man is a feel-good moment. Okay. But go past that. Look at the end of that appetite. And where it's going to lead you, okay? It's not pleasant. However, let me say this. If you've got an appetite for serving God, go look at the end of that appetite. I'm not saying appetites are bad, right? It's recognizing the wrong appetites, okay? Why don't they show the end of the sin and addictions? We read those things in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Bible says, verse number 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Oh, that's nice. I mean, honey, that's good. And her mouth is smoother than oil, right? Those are good descriptions there. That's a good positive thing. But verse 4, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Look at verse number 8. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction and in my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Listen, folks, this happens every day. This happened last week in Sullivan. This right here, what I'm telling you tonight, Proverbs chapter 5 happened in Sullivan County within the last two weeks. Almost verbatim. Guy got caught doing something he shouldn't. He let his appetites lead him someplace he shouldn't have gone. His life is destroyed. His honor is gone. Everything that everybody knew about him is gone. Forever a black mark on his name. So you know what he decided to do? End it all. Couldn't live with it. That, in the news headlines, is Proverbs chapter 5. Young men, listen to me. That's Proverbs. Young ladies, listen to me. That's Proverbs chapter 5, written out almost verbatim in our news headlines. And it happens, that was local. It happens day in, day out. Why? Because an appetite that was not controlled, an appetite that he couldn't say no to, an appetite she couldn't say no to, and it was developed and the life snuffed out. Over, listen to me, over somebody that didn't even exist. Think about that. Who he thought he was talking to wasn't a person. Snuffed out. Why? Because of an appetite they couldn't say no to. Brother Val, when I was growing up, and we'll be done, one last thing. I ran a few traps, caught a few raccoons. One day I went to my trap, and there was a foot in my trap. That's it. A raccoon foot in my trap. I'm like, there's not a whole lot of things that'll attack a raccoon and eat the whole thing and carry it off. All right? I don't even like messing with them. So I kind of asked Dad, and he said, well, either chewed its leg off, or it worked it so much that it broke it off and left it in the trap. It was funny, though. I was deer hunting the same area a year that following fall. This was in the spring, the following fall. And I'm not saying it was the same one, but I saw a raccoon hobbling on three legs. Well, he had four legs, 3 feet. You know, I always never understood, and we won't go there because of time. Matthew chapter number 18, the Bible says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into heaven with one hand than to have two hands and enter into hell damnation. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Because it is better for thee to enter into heaven with one eye than having two eyes. Listen to me. It's not always easy to give up habits. But unless you recognize, sometimes those habits, unless young people listen, we're all going to develop things that we maybe shouldn't be involved in. Maybe you're listening to the wrong kind of music. Maybe you're watching the wrong kind of things. Maybe you're spending too much time. But you know what the bad thing about habits is? You never know which one has the hook. You never know which one of those pieces of meat. Well, I've eaten 10, Brother Chad, and they're all okay. Yeah. But it could be the 11th. It could be the 21st. But there's always, I promise you this, when it comes to the devil, there's always one that's got a hook in it. And listen to me, it may require giving up friends. It may require giving up part of your lifestyle. It may require an inconvenience. But is it worth it if you can live your life without having your honor scarred, without having your name dragged through the mud, without giving up everything because we couldn't give up an appetite? You had to have one more bite. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for, Lord, this lesson that you've taught me. God, it's so easy to develop these appetites. It's so easy to let things just kind of out of control, out of kilter in our lives. And God, I pray that you just help us to recognize those things. Lord, I pray that we would walk guard on our lives. Lord, I pray that we would try things to see if there are things that you would want us to do, things you'd want us to look at, time that you would want us to spend. Lord, I don't know. This is kind of a shotgun message. Lord, you just laid it on my heart. But Lord, I pray that you speak to every heart individually. Lord, I pray that you put a hedge around our young people, but also give them wisdom to know what the right thing is to do. And Lord, I pray that you give them the courage to sometimes even have to terminate a relationship or stop doing something that is easy and convenient. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom. I pray that you guide us and direct us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for watching over us and loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's